Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations over and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Tim Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Hello!
Things are brewing in Chicago, my friends. People are buzzing. News of the day. The Chicago Cubs won 14-1 last night against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Let's
we never
go.
Thought, Kyle at least, didn't think the Cubs would ever win again. They have won. So there you have it. We'll center our show the next 2 hours around that very news.
Can I jump in? I apologize, first of all, for missing yesterday, but I do want to say congratulations to Adam Wainwright for the win number 200. I thought that was really cool. I was able to catch most of it, saw the end of on MLB Tonight, and I thought it was a cool job by Helsley to come in and get do his thing and everybody else that kind of played the part, Wilson Contreras, the home run. But, you know, Derek, you and I, and it was kind of funny because I read something today that kind of set me off a little bit, and then I'm like, ah, why not? So Waino wants to bat one more time. Did you know this? Did you hear this?
I have not seen that.
He asked Ollie if he could bat one more time in his career because, as we know, he's going to retire, and I don't think he's going to make another start. I think after that win, I think they're going to shelf Waino the rest of the way. I'm sure he gave everything he had for that victory, his best performance of the season to go 7 innings and give up no runs to the Brewers. So I'm sure he taxed himself pretty hard to the point where he's probably done. I mean, he's old. I know what that's like. He's old. But I laughed a little bit when he said he wanted to hit, and I'm like, you know, the one thing I've said the last couple of years, and if there's anybody that is worth being, you know, honored and applauded for, it's Adam Wainwright, Yadi Molina, and Albert Pujols. But you didn't want it to become a show, right? You didn't want it to become, well, we're 14 games out of first place, but hey, here comes Waino up to the plate. So in a way, that kind of it disturbs me a little bit. I kind of wish Waino just would have given the old, I won 200, I'm golden. Now I'm out, you know? But then I started thinking to myself, Lon, you're old, you're cynical, get off my yard. Why don't you just let him have fun and go up and take another swing, right? What's it going to hurt in the grand scheme of things? Maybe if nothing else, it'll help the Cardinals lose another game and get a better draft pick in the end. But that aside, I am proud of Adam Wainwright. What a career he's had. He's given you and I an incredible run of Cardinals baseball. You had him for dead, essentially, rightfully so, I may add, about 6 years ago when you said he's going to become the bullpen coach because he couldn't get anybody out, mm-hmm. and he turned his career – not he didn't turn his career around. He had a great career. But I guess you could kind of say he did.
I would say so, yeah.
I guess you could say he did.
And he went on to another 5 years, 6 years.
It's a good point. I don't want to assume like it was crashing, although it wasn't good. And so, which led to you to say that. So it's amazing from the get-go. This kid comes over to trade. We don't know much about him. Walt Jocketty had to have him. That was the reason that trade happened. He said, I've got to have Adam Wainwright. And then, the first time we really understand who he is his rookie year. He's a closer. And then he goes out against Carlos Beltran, who may be the ultimate in Cardinals killer, in the biggest moment of his life, probably still to this day, in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series to get the Cardinals to a World Series when they hadn't been in a while, if I'm remembering this correctly. And or had they? No, they hadn't been in a while, right? Well, they lost in 04.
Right.
I'm sorry, they lost in 04. Yep. So sorry, it was 2 years. Boy, that sounded spoiled. But the point was, he comes in 06, gets the job done against Beltran. Cardinals end up winning a World Series. They win another one with him on the team, even though I think he was kind of injured in that series. But just everything that he was able to do, not only as a baseball player, but as a Cardinal. I just feel like he is one guy that you're super proud of. He's continued. They've adopted kids. He and his wife have adopted kids, which has helped on that end. He's raised countless amounts of money through fantasy football, through his band. He's kind of a man of the people, if you will, without getting 100%. Ridiculously out of hand here and having Cubs fans say, oh, here we go, it's the Cardinals. But Adam Wainwright,
he's the face of baseball.
Right. Even if you're a Cubs fan and you hate the Cardinals ridiculously, which I don't blame you, you have to have a respect for Adam Wainwright. I know Kyle said that a couple of weeks ago, that Adam Wainwright is a guy that, has demanded that respect and is a guy that he's a good dude, man. He just looks like a guy that would walk in here right now, sit down in his cowboy boots and laugh with us and have a visit, mm-hmm. maybe go have a cold beer afterwards. So congrats to him. It is amazing all the happiness that he has brought me as a Cardinals fan through all the years. And I wasn't here yesterday to be able to say that, even though he's not listening, nor will he hear this. I just think it's important to say that, that's a guy that is in the peak of my, essentially, life, if you will, gave me a lot of good fun and a lot of big wins, and I just am happy for him to get to 200. I know it was a battle. I know it became kind of a farce. I know it kind of typified the season in terms of, well, the Cardinals can't win, and this is how bad it is. We're letting a guy that's given up, it has a 20 ERA essentially in the last 10 starts trying to get another win. I mean, that's how pathetic it's been this year for the Cardinals, but I'm glad he got it. And 2,200, I believe, what was it? 2,200. Was it outs or something? It doesn't matter. 2,200 innings, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, 200 wins is pretty cool. So I just wanted to say that. And thank you, Adam Wainwright.
I think it deserves a little bit of this
happy hour.
Yeah. I bet he had a few of those that night.
I would think.
Maybe not.
You got the the old Gatorade shower. Did you see the pictures on social media?
I did.
Him in a shopping cart?
I assume he texted his wife right after and said, can you hang around the stadium for a while? You're going to have to drive me home.
I would think, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome to remember him as a young closer.
Yeah.
That's amazing. 200 wins. Are we going to see that again?
That's another thing about it. And mentioned it yesterday. There was an article by Will Leach on MLB.com that there's only four other active pitchers.
Yes.
With 200 wins. Greinke, you had Max Scherzer, Kershaw, and imagine Justin Verlander.
Yeah. I think that's it.
And then the next closest is Garrett Cole at like 140 wins.
So
he's got a ways to go. Still some time left in his career. But
sure.
Pitchers don't go deep in games as often. Injuries are as frequent as ever. And it's a guy that consistently would take the ball. And that's the thing I respect the most about him.
That's a great point.
Late in his career, not only just that he pitched a sub-4 ERA in the previous 3-4 seasons when it looked like he was going to be out there in the bullpen, not as a reliever, as the bullpen coach, but like the Cardinals with the injuries they've sustained in their rotation, the fact that I said it yesterday, Jack Flaherty was supposed to be your ace and he was hurt too often or not pitching up to his potential too often.
True.
Through those stretches. And you look at last year as recently as 2022, they won the division wild card team in 20 and 21, won the division in 19 as well. So without Waino being Waino the last handful of years, that doesn't happen.
No.
I think that he did a favor, a massive, massive favor to John Mozeliak, who has otherwise made some mistakes in building this rotation. So on one hand, yes, I'm a little annoyed by some of the extracurriculars. Like the, I've made jokes about the concert that he's going to have.
Yes.
You know, the Red Series and yeah, he sang the national anthem, which was nice for the opener. And like the hitting again, I don't know. I mean,
I know.
I don't care. Honestly,
I don't either.
I don't care one way or the other. Honestly, I'm not going to probably be watching.
Would you rather have him hitting or Andrew Kisner?
Oh, him.
Yeah. Okay. Him. We could go through the lineup and I could ask you, like, would you rather have him or Dylan Carlson? I think him. I'd rather see Waino.
I'd rather see Waino.
I mean, it's
so
just...
I guess I'm being swayed into this. But that's what I'm getting at. Like, what he's done for the franchise, in particular in a window where he was supposed to be toast.
Yes.
Like, he should be able to do whatever he wants. He should be able to drive the Clydesdales around the the place as many laps as he wants, dress up as Fred Bird another night. Like, any ask he has for John Mozeliak the last 10 games, 12 games, whatever it is left, he should be able to pretty much get a yes on.
He's pretty much done it. I mean, last year, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball mic'd him up. You remember that before the game? That was a unique look into a starting pitcher getting ready for a game. And if I would encourage any parent out there whose child, whether softball or baseball, if you didn't get a chance to see that and see kind of what went into Adam Wainwright getting ready for a game in the last, I want to say like 15 minutes before first pitch, go back and watch that, because that was an incredible, I thought that was really cool what Adam Wainwright was doing, and how kind of, especially how he was, what kind of pitches he was throwing to warm up, kind of the reason he did it. I just thought it was very cool. But you're right. I mean, the guy, look, let him do whatever. He takes his old man walks. I think that's kind of the funny thing, too, is Adam Wainwright enjoyed this till the end. You know, he had his success. And, Kyle, can I have you effort something? Because he came in and what, 06? Is that right? 06. Can you find out how many times the Cardinals made the playoffs with Adam Wainwright on their roster? And but I feel like Waino, you know, he accomplished so much. And then these last 2 years, he's really enjoyed the ride to the end. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the team has tanked. And I know that's not what he wanted. And I'm sure that that is something that he'd rather be pitching for a playoff spot or pitching in the playoffs. But he's part of the reason why this team tanked.
Yeah.
So, but he has enjoyed it with his walks around. You know, if he was in Pittsburgh, if he was in Milwaukee, if he was in with the Dodgers at Chavez, he would walk around the stadium or he'd walk around the city and kind of, you know, tweet out and say, hey, the old man walk took me here today. And I just thought it was pretty cool. I think he's a guy that has really enjoyed his career. It's been a long career. He knows how lucky he is. And now he can go in any direction he wants to go. If he wants to be a manager one day, I think he could do it. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's going to end up in a booth somewhere, and he's really good at it. And I'm talking like Tony Romo kind of good, that kind of thing, to where he could be up in a booth and be the main guy essentially for many years. So I hope that happens, because he's got a great personality. He's got a great sense of humor. He knows the guys. Guys respect him. I think he would get a good interview out of guys when they talk to him. I just think he would be great for baseball going forward if that ends up what he wants to do. Or he could just go enjoy life as a person, right, and his family, and not have to worry about working 162 straight days.
Adam Wainwright made the postseason 11 times.
Wow. I thought it'd be more than that, to be honest with you. 11 times. Okay.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty solid.
Well, then if he finds like a national broadcast, like the game Saturdays on Fox, I know AJ Pierzynski's in that role now, and there's been, I don't know that he's going to look to go, or maybe John Smoltz has done it for a long mm-hmm. time. Maybe he would want to walk away and spend some more time with his family. But if he gets in that kind of a sense where you're just doing like a game a week,
yeah,
maybe two
point.
Games a week, then
great
he can
point.
Get the best of both worlds, mm-hmm. really, like still get the family time, obviously more than he's had throughout his pitching career, and then be that voice that I think would be really engaging, entertaining.
Yes.
He's a funny dude. He's been one of the better players that I've seen in my lifetime. He's
sure.
one of the best pitchers the Cardinals have ever had.
I agree.
Like, obviously, Bob Gibson, it starts with him.
Yep.
Chris Carpenter's been one of the best starters as well. I know Steve Carlson didn't get to play out his career as a Cardinal.
Forsh was a great pitcher, two no-hitters. Jesse Haynes had 200-plus wins. He was the Gibby, Haynes, and now Waino are the only three with 200. Mm. Yeah, there's been some great pitchers through the years. I mean, you think of Woody Williams. You think of Chris Carpenter. You think of
Matt Morris.
Matt Morris, right. I mean, that's just in our lifetime, right? I mean, there has been some really good Cardinals pitchers, and I know we're missing some, and we're not trying to add them all and list them all. But you're right. I mean, he's up there. He's going to wear the red jacket.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to be in a Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball, but certainly he's the guy that is lauded in St. Louis, and I can't wait for the day when Albert and – no, Albert's already had his red jacket, hasn't he? Did he have that? No, or did he just come back? No, no, he hadn't.
I don't think they've given it
to him. No, why am I thinking that? I think he came back for one. But the day that Albert and Yachty and Waino all go in together would be – that will be a sold-out Hall of Fame. I wish they would do that somewhere other than Ballpark Village, to where I think you could have – 30,000 people that want to see that. That would be really cool. Really cool.
I agree. To transition, we opened up yesterday's show with baseball. We'll do the same here. I do want to talk Justin Fields and the Bears. I was obviously kidding about the Cubs being the story of Chicago. Although, Kyle, I want to get your thoughts. They did bounce back nicely. And I asked you yesterday if there was one guy that could get going in this week against the Pirates and the Rockies. You named Dansby Swanson, and he hit the first home run of the game.
Nice.
It was a mini home run night for the Cubs, including one of your young bucks there late in the ball game. But what'd you think of the Cubs bounce back last night?
They needed that so badly. They didn't need anything more than a 14-1 win at home. I'm hoping that sparks the offense, because the offense had been tough to watch for the last 2 weeks. Couldn't get anything going. No power in the lineup. Last night, I think they hit five homers and put up a 14 spot. I know it's the Pirates, obviously, but
hey.
They fell out of a playoff spot yesterday, and now temporarily they're back in one. So hopefully that gets them going. They needed that.
It did seem like you hadn't heard Dansby Swanson's name in a while. Hell, I called him Darby. That's how bad it had gotten for Dansby.
You were probably right to do that, because he has been nowhere to be found the last month. But he did homer last night. Maybe that gets him going. They need him to get going, because he was kind of the leader during that turnaround in late July, and he has kind of disappeared.
I wonder if in some quiet corner of Champaign, Trevor Valise dinger Tuesday at the Cubs. Would he tell us? He would have told us.
Would have been bold based on their offense over the last 2 weeks.
Right. Although I haven't told him about my two big parlays in the NFL. So maybe Trevor he cashed in on a dinger Tuesday with the Cubbies last night, and he's just kind of keeping it from you and I. Pipes. I think that might be the case.
Very possible. Very possible. I know somebody on the U of I LandLink text line, not happy we keep talking about Waino. To be fair, Lon wasn't here yesterday, so he's got a chance to weigh in. And also he says, will you talk about Kyle Hendricks from the Cubs retiring next year when you are in a playoff race? I doubt it. Well, don't put Kyle Hendricks and Adam Wainwright in the same
Wainwright.
They are not the same player.
Adam Wainwright may be the last player that this person who's texting in ever sees win 200 games. Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, the next guy in line is Gerrit Cole, that needs 59 wins to get to 200. I think it's worth talking about. And granted, you're right, that happened two nights ago, and I apologize I was gone. So I apologize that I did that. But there's not many guys get to 200.
There's not, no.
3,000 hits, you'll probably never see that again. I mean, there's a lot of things in baseball that today's fan, Kyle, will probably never see a guy hit 3,000 hits. Now, you were able to see Cabrera with Detroit do it. You were alive for that. But I don't know if you'll ever see another 3,000-hit guy. How many does Trout have? Is Trout, I mean, he would be the guy I would assume that is the closest of someone that would have the ability to get to 3,000. And Gerrit Cole's a hell of a pitcher. I'm not saying that he can't rack up, you know, 15 wins for the next 6 years and get to 200, but he's got a lot of work to do to get 59 wins when in today's world, the win means nothing. It means nothing. So I think that's pretty amazing to hit a stat and an accomplishment that you will not see much of the rest of your life.
Sure. I would say, like, you give Spencer Strider and some of these young pitchers a full career, and they can come to 200.
There's
and
no doubt.
I think that if you're going to pick a candidate most likely for 3,000, Ronald Acuna,
yeah,
over his entire career, I mean, that's a guy hitting Lon would appreciate his baseball card right now. Not only is he about to have 40 home runs and 70 stolen bases in a season, he's also hitting like 360.
That's incredible. He's incredible. That's not even fair.
Two home runs last night, if you're talking about Dinger Tuesday.
He's the guy you created on your video game that is unfair.
Like, oh, yeah.
You created him, and you're like, I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to make him the best player that's ever lived in Major League Baseball. Acuna's unbelievable.
Yeah, this list of active hits leaders, I don't see a single guy on here that I think can do it, because all these guys at the top of the list, Joey Votto, Freddie Freeman, Nelson Cruz, McCutchen, Altuve, like, these guys are in their 30s, and they're nowhere close. Acuna might be the guy. Like, Trout only has 1624.
Oh, wow.
He's 31 years old. He's not getting close.
No.
Where is it? Is Acuna on the list?
Well,
he's only in like his third season.
I was going to say.
He's young.
Yeah, that's my fault. He's probably got 500 hits. Well, no.
I will say this about Waino. If we were in the Cubs' shoes, or even take it a step further, what if we were the Miami Marlins or the San Francisco Giants in a wild card chase, and then Adam Wainwright took the ball in a situation where the Cardinals lost 10 of 11 starts at one point. He took the L in 8 straight starts at one point as well. It would be a lot harder to stomach all of the, well, let's get Waino to 200. It probably wouldn't have happened.
I think he would have been on the IL for the rest of the year, about all-star break on. I truly mean that. I don't think they – I mean, you're not going to use him in the bullpen, right? Is he your long guy when you're up 10 or down 10?
He doesn't want to do that, though.
No. I think he'd be on the IL the rest of the year. Because they're not going to dump him. I can't imagine.
Right.
Yeah, that's a tricky spot, but he's not making starts for you if it's meaningful. And there's no doubt that the Cardinals being as bad as they have been this year helped
actually,
Waino.
Yeah, allowed him to get to 200.
Get to 200, because otherwise, yeah. He was as bad as any pitcher's been. I mean, let's be honest. There was a stretch of about 8 games there that I don't know that another starter, well, I'm sure there have been. I mean, it's baseball. But he was god-awful to the point where
he was good for about 6 or 7 earned every time he took the ball.
The first inning, it seemed like. I mean, he was down 4-0 before you even knew it. So, yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Cubby's a half game up on the Marlins. 1.5 on the Reds.
Reds just blew a 3-0 lead this afternoon, so that was big.
So that's why they're 1.5. Okay. How you feeling with it? What do we got, 3 series left?
I think it's 4.
3 4? After the current ones.
Oh, okay. And how do the Cubs finish? They got the Pirates?
Pirates, Rockies this weekend at Wrigley.
Oh.
And then at Atlanta and at Milwaukee.
Oh, my Lord.
They gotta clean up this week.
Now, the good news is Atlanta and Milwaukee should have things wrapped up, right? So you may not, but they're still going to play, guys. And the Rockies have always kind of been a thorn.
Yes, especially at Coors Field.
Yes.
I said right before that series last week where the Cubs lost 2-3, I hate playing at Coors Field. Weird stuff happens here. Hopefully at Wrigley they can take care of business.
How are the Rockies not better than that? Because if you think about it, weird stuff happens. I about cursed. Weird stuff happens to the Cardinals when we go to Coors. Does this not happen to every team?
Potentially.
Like how are they only winning 40 games? Yeah. I know they've
the other half 40. Of their games are other places and their roster's terrible.
I mean, they're bad. Do the Cardinals have like the 5th pick? I'm rooting for the Cubbies to get to the playoffs. This is going to be fun.
I honestly
to watch
am too. I was watching them last night. The Cardinals were on. I didn't care. I didn't have a reason to. I watched the Cubs game until I fell asleep, but it's a fun baseball team.
It is.
I like this Cubs team. In the past, when the Cardinals and Cubs were butting heads, and there was Baez and Bryan and those guys at the time,
Schwarber.
I was pretty anti-Cubs, but I like this Cubs team.
I'm with you. I really honestly would like to see them make it. Number one, it would be fun to watch Kyle and know the excitement he'd have. Number two, I think here's why. They're not going to win a World Series. So there's no pressure in that regards that I'm going to sit here and think, oh my gosh, the Cubs are going to go win another World Series, and then I got to hear about that crap for the next 10 years. They're not going to win a World Series. So in my mind, it's like, let them have some fun like the Cardinals have had the last few years where they get to the playoffs and then immediately are dispatched.
Well. You're not going to let Kyle at least win a series? You're not going to have allow him to have a little bit more fun than that?
Who would you play?
I'm not all that confident in winning a series, to be honest with you.
You're either playing the Dodgers or the Braves,
well,
right?
Not – you'd get a wild card series against maybe the Brewers or the Phillies.
That's true.
Eesh. I don't – I'm kind of scared of both those teams.
I agree. The Oakland A's have won 46 games. They're 37 and a half out. Do you know what the run differential is? Minus 326.
Oh. Oh, boy.
That's incredible.
That's brutal. That's brutal.
That is incredible. The next worst, is that next worst? Next worst? Next whatever it is. The Rockies are minus 214. They're minus 326. They're 112, is that right? Whatever that is, 108. Worse in run differential than the next worst team. That's crazy.
It'd be hard to be a fan of that squad.
Oh.
Yeah. Speaking of being hard to keep your fandom on.
Oh, boy.
The Chicago Bears. Justin Fields had some things to say today. I don't necessarily disagree with the things that he said, but it definitely has caused a stir around that franchise, Hallis Hall. And, oh, by the way, we're getting it on the text line that defensive coordinator Alan Williams has stepped down, resigned. Oh. He's been on a leave of absence. There's been some rumors out there that Matt Eberflus has had some weird, I don't want to comment on anything, Alan Williams earlier today. There's some rumors out there that he's in some legal issues.
Well, that sounds like what it would be.
So,
man.
This dumpster fire just keeps on burning.
Here, I was thinking it was
higher and brighter.
I was thinking it was going to change a little bit.
Yeah.
They looked bad.
We play the Chiefs on Sunday.
Okay. Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to a break and talk about the Bears, did you read the – what? I can't remember what Inquirer – oh, Know the Foe.
I haven't yet, no.
Okay, so I highlighted three things about Florida Atlantic.
We are going to have a guest on.
Yes, we are.
Too. I should mention that.
That's right.
Kyle's going to have to tell me – remind me exactly who it is, but someone who covers the Owls is going to join us at 4:30.
That's awesome.
Zachary Weinberger from the Palm Beach Post.
Sweet. So I was reading this, and of course we all know Casey Thompson, their starting quarterback, out for the season after suffering a torn ACL. The running back room. This is a quote from, as the running back room's main three of, and lists three names, has been rocked by injury, it will be interesting to see if they can get at least this McCammon. He's their kind of their starter. At least on the field for a while. That's what they say. Then, so at that point, I'm like, you've lost your quarterback. You are worried that you're not going to have one of your running backs. And then it says key receiver Jaquan Burton is also questionable after having teeth knocked out on a sandwich tackle. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I thought you were going to stop at sandwich.
No. Florida Atlantic, you talk about limping into Memorial Stadium. Wow.
It's brutal.
Wow.
Spread's 15, I think, right now.
Is that right? Yeah. Illinois needs a...
They need it bad.
They do. They don't have much of a pass rush. Yeah.
The team needs it.
Our guy, Luke, he needs a bounce back, and it sounds like this is the kind of team that could do it. Yeah, this, you know, honestly, and I don't want to go, because we'll talk more of this. This is one of those that you haven't had a gimme yet. Everybody has a gimme. And we thought Florida Atlantic was going to be pretty good. And I think if you had their starters, including their starting quarterback, I think it's a much better game and a much lower spread. Maybe not much, but it would be lower. But Illinois needs to just go dominate. They need to dominate on the offensive line, which they haven't done this season. The defensive line has shown signs, but definitely dominate. Luke needs to have a good completion percentage kind of day. Get Isaiah in the end zone. Get the running game going, whether that be – I feel like Love has been consistent, but get McCray going, get Fagan going, get somebody other than Love going on that offense or, you know, on that ground. And just –
throw the ball to Malik Elzey.
Yes.
Even if it's late and you're up big, hopefully that's
exactly
the situation that you're in.
Just go get a really good feel-good win. To where you walk off that field going, you know what? This is how good we thought we were when this season started. Albeit, you're playing Florida Atlantic. But then, it sets you up for a big game at Purdue. That's going to be a huge game. On Peacock. If I could curse, it would start right now. So maybe we'll take a break.
I feel like that clip is what the commercial needs to be. A big game between Illinois and Purdue on Peacock.
On the mother... just a Peacock.
If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll talk a little bit of Bears, maybe some other thoughts from week 2 in the NFL when we return. This is The Drive.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Here's what one shopper said about Pard's Western Shop in Urbana, 306 North Maple, between Main and University. He said, sure, you can find booths at some big box stores, but nothing like Pard's selection. They're unique, they're local, and they have an excellent store. So many people that visit Pard's in Urbana say the same thing. Pard's in Urbana, 306 North Maple, you can find the best boots in the world and shop local. Visit Pard's.com, Pard's.com.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Fighting Illini football versus Florida Atlantic University on Saturday, September 23rd. Bring the whole family and enjoy the family fun in Grange Grove with bounce houses, equipment try-on, live music, tailgating, and more. Get tickets as low as $15 for Fighting Illini football versus Florida Atlantic, Saturday, September 23rd at FightingIllini.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor. With the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates, they have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk some Chicago Bears and some NFL. Haven't gone into too much detail, although we had Aaron Lemming yesterday, which gave a great breakdown as far as what he's seen out of Justin Fields, this offense,
yep,
the potential for a coaching change. At some point, he mentioned that Matt Eberflus would very, very unlikely be removed at some point during the season, but Luke Getsy maybe on the chopping block if this offense doesn't turn around. And Justin Fields had some interesting comments about the coaching, in particular the offense with Luke Getsy at the helm. And Kyle cut that up for us. So let's play some of that from Justin Fields' press conference today, and we'll obviously react to that after we hear this.
Felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and not playing like myself. So, my goal this week is just to, you know, say effort and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football. And that includes thinking less and just going out there and playing off of instincts rather than just say info in my head, data in my head, and literally just going out there playing football. I mean, just going back to it's a game. And that's it, because that's when, you know, I play my best is when I'm just out there playing free and being myself. So
when you say thinking less, what do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe think too much?
You know, could be, coaching, I think. But, you know, at the end of the day, it makes it, you know, they're doing their job when they're giving me, you know, what to look at and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I, you know, can't be thinking about that when the game comes. I prepare myself throughout the week. And then when the game comes, it's, you know, it's time to play free at that point.
There you have it, Justin Fields. That quote went viral on Twitter. And it was chopped up to where Justin Fields gets asked, why is he thinking too much? Why is he struggling? And he goes, coaching, I think. And
yeah,
a little bit more context into that. He actually held apparently a second, not an entire press conference, but called the media over to his locker after he had gotten off the podium and said that he wanted to clarify some things. He said, just so you guys know, please don't take what I say out of context. Don't try to divide this team.
Got it.
I'm taking responsibility for what my play has been, which hasn't been good enough. But, I mean, if you have watched the Bears games, if you've seen the clips on Twitter of the different plays and some of just the terrible scheming.
I agree.
The running the screen when you're backed up by your goal line. And also, why has Justin Fields gone from a guy that's run for more yards in a season than Michael Vick ever did to now not being called quarterback design runs, or he's sticking the pocket too long? Why is that happening? There's something going on coaching-wise. Although, as Aaron Lemming said, rightfully so yesterday, it's a combination of things that are going wrong for the Bears. Unfortunately, it seems like everything.
Well, and you would be better at this than I, but I do feel like this coaching staff understands that Justin Fields could be a really good starter for the Bears for 10 years. And I think to make sure that's the case, they don't want him doing what he did last year all the time. Is that fair? I mean, he was out. I know that's his strength, and you can't. But yet then there's the other side of it that he runs four times for 3 yards or whatever this weekend, and that's ridiculous. I mean, he's got to – you've got to – you know, that would be like saying, you know, like Steve Young back in the day. That'd be like saying, Steve, don't ever run. I mean, that was part of what made Steve Young good, is that he could get out and get, you know, get in the open field and run and do that kind of things, where you had to keep linebackers up to make sure he's not doing his thing. You want to make Justin Fields that weapon because you want the other team to have to spy on him. Because then that gives you the automatic advantage going in that one of their guys is only doing one thing, and that's watching me. So that's then an advantage to get more guys open for Justin Fields to throw. I think since the get-go, well, first of all, the whole thing on the coaching thing is just, it's kind of funny to me because it's almost like he states the obvious, like, well, coaching, like they keep giving me things that the other team's going to do. And it's like, well, isn't that what? I mean, that's kind of what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, the math teacher just kept throwing numbers in front of me, Mom. Well, I think that's what they're supposed to do so that you learn it. So that was kind of funny to me in a sense, because I'm like, I get what he's saying, right? But in a way, it's like, well, I wish they just quit telling me. Like, I don't even care if I know who we play next week. I just want to show up and start playing football. I don't care if they play
zone. Just give me the test and let me roll. Right, stop running, exactly. Drawing numbers on the board.
I don't care if they bring blitzes from the outside on third downs. I don't care if they do that. I just want to go out, snap the ball, and go. But I can understand a little bit about what he's saying, but it's kind of a bad path to go down, especially this early in his career, to all of a sudden throw a blame somewhere. And whether or not you had to call another press conference with everybody to explain, hey, I don't want you guys taking this out of context. Well, you know what? You just said it.
You gave the context.
You literally gave the context. And that's the thing that worries me there, in the sense that, you know, it's always easy that when someone struggles and then all of a sudden it's, wow, it's the coaching. You know, and I'm going through the same crap in Arizona with Kyler Murray. I mean, you got this thing is, you talk about a comedian, or, you know, I mean, this is like a dark comedy because, you know, all of a sudden you find out he doesn't study during the week. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, maybe Fields needs to do that. Maybe he just doesn't need to stop. Maybe he just needs to say, well, I don't want any of this information. And then it's like, well, it was all Cliff Kingsbury. And maybe it is. Maybe when Kyler emerges with the new coaching staff, he'll be incredible. And maybe if Eberflus was gone or Geske and they had a new offensive coordinator. First of all, the offensive coordinators that the Bears have hired in the last, has there been one that's had, A, any experience? I guess
Mike Martz had experience.
Yeah, Mike Martz. That's
true. Decided to run 7 strip drops to Jay Cutler and no offensive line. That, That wasn't great.
Kyle, can you effort the last, like, handful of offensive coaches? Can you name your offensive coaches that you've had in the last five?
Well, Matt Nagy as the head coach was the play caller. This is what gives me issues, though. When you hired a new head coach and you knew that Justin Fields was your prized possession, yep, the most important player on your roster, you didn't go out and try to get a head coach that could go hand-in-hand with him, because your head coach is going to be supposedly your best coach on the staff.
Yeah.
Why not have it be an offensive coach that can get the most out of Justin Fields? Instead, they hired Matt Eberflus,
who's deep,
which was a defensive guy. And I would appreciate the fact, like Sean McDermott for the Bills, defensive guy. They've had a lot of success. If you have a good offensive coordinator with a defensive head coach, it can work.
It can work.
But the problem for the Bears is Matt Eberflus, as of right now, is not elevating this defense.
Yeah.
And then Luke Getsky coming from Green Bay had never called plays ever in the NFL.
Wow.
So not only are we going to give him an offensive coordinator that is your guy running the offense, which is not terribly uncommon, but he had never called plays. So
that's terrible.
That was just super head scratching. And he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not the skill sets are different.
Right.
So I understand, like, Justin Fields has to take accountability for some of this, and he's not without blame. You see some of the plays where there are people open downfield and he's just not throwing people break open and he holds on to doesn't see things right off the bat, or now his confidence is shaken. So he deserves blame for some of this, but I do think the scheming has been terrible, and just the whole situation of, all right, we get this franchise quarterback. We don't do a good job at all of addressing the offensive line.
Yeah.
He's taken a million hits already.
Yep.
And you wonder why his processing has some glitches in it, because there are so many plays where he's on the ground after 2.5 seconds. So that's where it's maddening. But
no, I'm with you.
I'm glad he said something about the coaching, honestly, as a Bears fan, because we've all been talking about it. We've all been thinking it.
Right.
And there needs to be changes within the scheme. Otherwise, this season's over and Justin Fields might be lost in general.
Yeah,
but I understand, as an outsider or just the rest of people who aren't Bears fans or maybe haven't watched the Bears as closely, when you see a player coming out and calling out the coach, it does give you a bad taste in your mouth, especially for a player that has made so many mistakes on their own.
Yeah. How much do you think throwing him in the fire last year with a bad offensive line and with zero receivers – how much do you think is on the Bears for doing that last year?
All of it. I thought they were going to ruin him last year.
Yeah, well,
and that's why I was so excited going into the offseason, because he was one of the highlight players in terms of regular season, in terms of just highlight plays, some stats on the ground. Like from the halfway point of last season
he was ridiculous.
He was, I mean, fantasy community. Oh. If you had Justin Fields in fantasy, you were having a pretty good time, because he was running for 100 yards with high frequency despite not having receivers. He wasn't putting up big passing numbers, but still the Bears were scoring high 20s into the 30s as far as an offense that really had no other reason to be doing so. So then you give him DJ Moore. You hope to Chase Claypool with an offseason, although I think now we're seeing more and more that's probably not going to fix everything for a player that cost you a second-round pick. They tried to address the offensive line with a couple of free agent signings, like fairly low-key signings that weren't like a big splash. Like, oh, this has been an all-pro left tackle.
Exactly.
They go out in the draft and try to fix it that way too. But just in general, I think the head coaching hire, who he got as an offensive coordinator, the offensive line, the lack of weapons, it's all contributed into Justin Fields being put in a situation where more likely than not he's going to fail. Just probably a lot of quarterbacks in that position are going to fail. And it's even worse for a guy that seemed to have something figured out late last year, and now that's completely gone.
Are you okay with him just going and running like he did last year?
Yes.
Okay. So then in that sense, maybe Fields is on to something today when he said, I'm just going to go play. Like, I'm going to let my talent do what it does. I'm just going to go out and be me and just – and if that means a three-step drop and I don't like what I see, I'm taking off. And – you know, injury be damned, essentially. Yeah. I'm just going to go. I mean, Fields is huge. But, like, didn't Anthony Richardson just get hurt, right, for the Colts? So that's one of those where you worry. Obviously, you worry about that. But you can't take away what he's good at.
Right.
Right?
You do have to worry about it long term. Like, look at the Ravens the last few seasons with Lamar Jackson. Like, late in the year, he's on the shelf.
All the time.
So, but the difference with Fields is, like, you're not giving him the big, huge money right now. So you're not maybe worried about, and even Kyler Murray's been a guy that early in seasons puts up good rushing stats, then he gets a little nicked up or just completely
knocked
out of a game.
You're
then late in the year, he's not rushing or he's not available. So that's something, too, that I would worry about long term. But that's been the, right now, I just want to win. I want to win. I want to see Justin Fields play his best level. And right now, his best asset, even though I was really, really impressed with his throwing at Ohio State. Now, he had really, really awesome receivers and a system that put him in a position to throw the ball downfield and everything. But
and an
that,
hour to throw.
Yeah, that helps.
I'm with you.
But, like, his performance in that Clemson game, taking huge shots down the – he's got a big arm. He's got a lot of arm talent. It's just you have to allow him to make plays with his feet, even if it is dialed down a little bit from last year. You just can't – you can't try to coach that out of him, even though I do think for him to be the best player he can be, you want him to be able to sit in a pocket, and if a first read's not there, can you get to your second read? Can you find out what coverage they're in? That's all important to being a high-level quarterback.
I'm with you. So I found this on Twitter. It was something that I had seen. So this is offensive coordinator since 2012. Now, I'm just throwing this out there, and then I want your thoughts. So you had Mike Tice. He was an offensive line coach, no experience in terms of offensive coordinator. Cromer was an offensive line coach, no experience. Adam Gase, gone after 1 year, right? He was it Adam?
Yeah, and then he went and coached Kyle's Dolphins. He was terrible
for us.
Oh,
that's right. Loggins, 1 year of experience at Tennessee, and then you hired him as offensive coordinator. Helfrich was unemployed.
Mark Helfrich, yep.
Lazar was unemployed.
Bill Lazor, yep.
Getsy, 1 year of experience in college.
As a play caller, yeah.
So you look at that, and it's like there isn't a lot of experience as an offensive coordinator that you've hired the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
I mean, of those, you had one guy that had actually been an offensive coordinator, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, and Mike Tice, when he was the head coach of the Vikings, was probably calling plays there. But outside of that, yeah.
It's a good call.
I know that, like I said, Cutler had Mike Martz at one point. And that didn't work out very well. I mean, the Bears have had...
Mike Martz was a hell of a mind. He was a hell of an offensive mind. I mean, but of course he had Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce.
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt, Kurt Warner, Ricky Prohl. Ricky Prohl made probably the biggest catch of that season for the Rams. They had some really... Who was that tight end on that team? Does it even matter?
I can't remember.
Did they even use a tight end?
I don't know.
I mean, they probably didn't even use a tight end.
I think, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because Jay Cutler's best weapon was Greg Olsen, they ended up trading him, I think, because Mike Martz said, I don't really use a tight end as a pass catcher.
I've always wondered why they got rid of Greg Olsen. Is that why?
I think so.
I used to think, like, why did they get rid of Greg Olsen? He was really good. And then he went to Carolina, I think, and just dominated. That's I'm glad you answered that, because that's kind of been obviously not one of the top 1,000 questions that hits my head every day. But that's always been, like, when you said that, it popped to the front. And I was like, I've always wondered that. Like, you had Greg Olsen and got rid of him. And I'm like, I don't get that. I don't understand that.
All right, before we catch a break, let's give some other thoughts so far through 2 weeks in the NFL.
Okay.
We'll touch on Kyle's Dolphins, who have been really, really impressive. I saw that FanDuel now lists Tua Tagovailoa as the favorite to win the MVP.
Wow, do they really? Look at Kyle.
What do you think, Kyle?
Look at Kyle.
I wouldn't go that far. I'd pump the brakes a little bit there, but he has looked outstanding.
Kyle's just over there kind of – he's got his Cubs in the playoffs right now. His Dolphins are 2-0, right? You and I are 0-2. He's just kind of sitting over there.
He's
like,
living a better life than us.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And he's in college.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah, that right there, you could just start with that and end with that. He's in college.
Let me ask you guys this question. Now, I could have put together an NFL Next question. We could have done it this way, but I'm kind of rapid firing you guys right now. The Cowboys, 40-0 against the Giants, 30-10 against the Jets. How much are you buying this Dallas Cowboys team?
I'm buying them. It seems like we've been trying to buy the Cowboys for the last 3 years.
Yes.
I think you finally can buy the Cowboys. And guess who they play this week? The Arizona Cardinals.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, listen, I'm buying them. I like this. I've always been kind of a Dak guy. I don't know why. But I like Tony Pollard. I think Zeke actually held them back a little bit last year and got in Pollard's way. No, I mean, look, 3 years ago they thought they had the best offensive line in football, and it was good. I think now they may have. And this is just a team, they've got a stud on defense, you know, one of the best defensive players in football. I think we've been trying to buy them, and now all of a sudden I don't want to say I'm all in. They would be a tough out in the playoffs, especially in that NFC.
I will say their defense looks lights out.
Whew.
Like, now they get Stephon Gilmore to have two really, really good corners along with Trayvon Diggs, and Micah Parsons and that pass rush are just nasty.
Parsons
so
is just, ugh.
We'll see Dak in some bigger games,
yep,
against some offenses that could put up points, and how he does in pressure situations in the playoffs or pushing for a division if they're going to challenge the Eagles, which I think they definitely can.
Isn't that been his thing always?
Yeah.
Like, in that one spot where he's got the chance to really shine is when Dak never does, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – I tell you what, we ripped the hell out of that division about 3 years ago.
I know. They were on primetime all the time. Like, what are we doing?
And the NFL is cyclical like a lot of things, hence the draft and et cetera. But, man, that division used to be so bad. And now you look at it, and you've got the Eagles who could have won the Super Bowl last year. Now you got the Cowboys who look like a team that could advance to a Super Bowl. I mean, the Redskins are the Redskins. Giants are the But, yeah, those top
Giants
two teams.
Giants don't look great.
No, they
Commanders
don't.
Commanders are 2-0.
Yeah? I mean, they played the Cardinals, and then I don't know who they played next.
Played the Broncos, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're better than my Bears.
Darren, finally a little love for my Cowboys.
I can say that. Ryan asked, did the Bears DC quit today? He did.
Yeah, he got
No other details. There's a lot of rumors on Twitter. There was a tweet that was saying the Bears got – the House Hall got raided.
Here comes the FBI.
Bears team spokesman via the Bears reporter said that is false. But
okay. How surly was Fishbane yesterday? He's been surly on – or I'm sorry, not Fishbane. Why did they say Fishbane? Lemming. Kevin Fishbane used to join us once in a while. My fault. Sorry, Aaron Lemming. Good Lord. Hope he's not listening right now.
Yeah, Aaron Lemming.
How surly was he? Because his Twitter lately – he's been pretty, I mean.
Taking shots and
I wanted
calling
to pull
it, like
it up
it
real
is.
Quick if I could, if I have time.
I'm glad he is.
Yeah.
As a consumer of Bears coverage, I want someone that's going to tell it how it is. And right now, it's pathetic.
Yep. Now, I'm going to go through all this stuff with the D coordinator now, so I've got to go deep. But he's been tearing up the Bears. And this coaching staff.
They're awful.
Yeah, they are. And I really hoped you'd have a. And, of course, right off the bat, you lose to the Packers. I mean, it's just at home, right?
Yeah, at home. And on the first drive of the season, we ran a tight end sneak on 3rd and 1 and then went for it on 4th and 1 and didn't get it. And then Jordan Love had a shortened field to go score a touchdown. I want to ask you guys, can we talk more NFL after the break?
Yeah, I'm
I want to ask
in.
You guys about Jordan Love, ask you guys about some other games coming up this upcoming Sunday that we should dive into, because we haven't got a chance to dive all the way
into
the NFL for this week. So if you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line at 4:30. We'll have a guest to join us on the Tapman's Towing phone line to talk about FAU football as they come to town on Saturday. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
During challenging times, family and health come first. This is Rob Meyer with Provident Financial Group. Many of us have spent the past year feeling a little bit out of control, but there are steps that you can take to plan for a better financial future. Now is the time to take action and create a financial plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile.